Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 254 of the Mike White's podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by Casey.
Hello.
How's things, mate?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, all good. Nice to have a day off, which is why we're doing this at the very weird time of 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday.
You think
we don't get many live viewers normally? Oh, just you wait, sir. Just you wait.
Oh, just you wait till the bot starts sending us messages about our live view account for this one.
Yeah.
I believe, are we blaming Skype for moving this one to a Monday lunchtime?
Yes, I am. I'm definitely blaming them for moving the Huddersfield to 12:30, because why not just say that that's why we didn't win?
Yep, I'm good with that.
Yeah, cool, guy. That works as a review. Now, the winning run, you could say, has gone to the dogs. There's no point really getting into the Chelsea game, even though we didn't do a pod after it just because of work. We played quite well. We probably deserved a bit better. Archie Gray was unbelievable. It was great to see Matteo Joseph get this start. But we have kind of come a bit down to earth with this result. It was just a really shit game of football, wasn't it?
Yeah, I bear no ill will to Huddersfield for playing that way, especially given how they played against us at Elland Road. It made all the sense in the world for them to make it as bitty a performance as possible, stop play, tie your shoelaces for 5 minutes, stick crosses in, go down, foul someone, get your own player injured and on crutches. It was an eventful first half.
Yeah. Because we will fully see this from the Leeds end. We will probably come off a little bit like, it's fucking shitty way to play football. But shithousing is a perfectly legitimate way when you're playing a team that's better than you. I mean, you just have to do it sometimes. I mean, I know that it didn't work for him in the end, but if you watch the Manchester derby, that's basically what Scum did. Like, they just sat back and tried to counter. Huddersfield did it to us, and in fairness to Huddersfield, they had at least as many good chances as us, and maybe more. They definitely had more shots on target. Like, they did well, and what I will say is that what is it Andre Breitenreiter, which just sounds like he works for The Athletic, but
yeah.
Like he compare the level of how they were coached on Saturday with the team that came to Elland Road early in the season. Complete night and day. This guy has done he's not turned them into world beaters by any stretch, but he has improved them drastically.
Well, you know, Saturday they turned up with a plan.
Yeah, which they didn't have at Elland.
No. I would absolutely hate it if my team played like that every single week. But when you're at the bottom end of the table and you're playing a promotion contender, yeah, it just made sense for them to treat the game as they did. And then, especially in the second half, when you're down a man, low block, cut off the space, let players have it out wide, and so you try to stop them from cutting in as much as you can. Yeah.
So we'll be a little bit chronological with it. I mean, it started off with Leeds having all the ball and stayed that way. To be honest, Leeds' only bit of actual good flowing football, perhaps in the game, but definitely in the first half, happened early on. Leeds played their way right through Huddersfield, just ripped them apart, really, until Nonto plays it into Glenn Kamara, unmarked, 8-9 yards out, middle of goal. And for some reason, he doesn't hit it. And that would be okay, but he also plays it like a yard behind Somerville, and then he doesn't get a clean shot away. And that was... You score that early on, and it's a very different game. But we didn't take the chance. And to be honest, after that, Huddersfield had most of the chances. We didn't have another shot on target until the goal.
No, you'd have to say that the majority of the first half from then on was probably for Huddersfield, not so much in terms of possession, but they were winning enough corners and free kicks to get the ball in the box and cause us problems. You know, obviously, I think first corner stems from like a 20-25 yard shot that Melier past.
Makes a decent save.
Makes a decent save. Save you'd expect him to make, but it's still a good save. And then, yeah, balls into the box.
Yeah, every set piece that looked dangerous. Much like against Leicester, we had Willie Nonto marking someone who was about 6 foot three plus. I'm never going to understand that. They've done it. They're doing it game in, game out, so it's obviously a plan. I assume he's there just to block the run, and one of the bigger lads on the edge of the six-yard box is meant to attack the ball. But if they then swing the ball 8 yards out or 10 yards out, we're knackered. I don't really like this setup that we've had for the last few games on defending set pieces. Just after that save that you mentioned, there was a like flick on at a near post that Melier made a good save from. And then we started seeing... Well, basically, we started seeing Huddersfield really steer into the kicking us up in the air and Jonathan Hogg be Jonathan Hogg. There's a reason he was the shortest price of anyone on the pitch for a red card right before the game. His first yellow is a bit high and it's late, but it's not that forceful and he doesn't really get him. But you could argue for a straight red, but I'd say that's a yellow. That's fair enough.
It's a cynical yellow card, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is what it is.
If a Leeds player got sent off, I'd be fuming. So I think a yellow's fine. Then not long after, you get Matty Pearson on Somerville. No attempt to win the ball. Studs up halfway up the calf muscle from behind. It's as clear as fucking day, a red card. Like, I am amazed that there wasn't more made of it, to be honest. But, you know, they're slowing us down. Well, I haven't got the exact stat in front of me. I know it was Johnny Cooper. What was it? That was a 54-minute half, and the ball was in play for 22 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's spectacular. But again, that's not on Huddersfield. That's on the referee. If the ref doesn't stop you, do it. And then, after we've been troubled by set pieces all game, in first half stoppage time, Nonto gives away a really silly free kick. It's a good ball in. Melier makes a really good save from first effort. I saw some people being mad at him that he didn't push it wide. I think that's a good save. I don't think he's got time to control where that's going. And Helic's there to score the rebound. No one around him really seems to react. It's just poor defensively all over the shop, really.
Yeah, and I mean, you could almost say to an extent, you could say it was coming as well.
Was shocked while he went in.
Yeah, as you said, the Kamara chance was sort of the only chance we really created in there.
Yeah, I haven't got it in the notes, but just because you mentioned his name, there was also the break where Kamara went to play that back pass and completely missed it.
Mm.
And they ran through and Archie Gray did really well to get him out of jail.
Yeah, it was... It was the sort of game... It was the sort of half of football you kind of expected from that sort of game. But it was very disappointing that we just couldn't break away at all, you know, after about 15 minutes or so. We just really struggled to get the ball and hold it up the pitch for any amount of time. I assume like possession wise, I know it'll be heavily influenced by the second half. Like it's showing here, 79% possession for the game, which given the way the second half went, I'm not surprised about. The first half, I imagine we probably dominated possession, but it was probably sort of the middle third in our own half where we would have held it most. Like, I don't think...
First half, we didn't look like scoring after that first chance.
It was a slog. And then... And then, apropos of nothing, Jonathan Hogg thought, I've not left enough of a mark on this game.
Yeah, it was Firpo who did it, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, he just looks over his shoulder and elbows him in the chin. And then has the temerity to be shocked when he gets a second yellow. It's lucky it's a second yellow. It's a straight red.
the fact it's only going to be a one-match ban and there is nothing to be done about it now. You'd have to say he's very lucky.
It was the difference between being in a ground and watching on telly. Huddersfield fans that I saw on Twitter were all like, well, what is Hogg doing? What an idiot. Stupid red card. In the ground, you would have thought that the referee was having a stinker of a game. Though, oh, not fit to referee. Oh, God, he's on Leeds' side. Oh, it's 12 men. And I mean, it really wasn't. You got booked a lot because you were hoofing us up in the air. But...
yeah, I've seen a lot of that on Twitter and after the game. You know, when you're just looking going, did you not see all the fouls, though?
Like, they had one. There was one the other way. Bamford probably could have got booked for one challenge he made. That's the only one the other way.
Yeah. We conceded more fouls in that game, as I look at it now.
Yeah.
I think outside of the equaliser, which obviously we will get to, the highlight of the game was Ethan Ampadu's quick chat with Jonathan Hogg on his way off.
It was weird, because to have the temerity to tell someone to fuck off when he didn't really see what happened, did he? He had no idea.
It's just, well done, dickhead. Fuck off.
But, you know, it happens, and they, at halftime, they took off. They took off Ward for that Matos, didn't they, and just went even deeper, which was fair enough. And we didn't really create anything. And then in the, I've got it written down somewhere, 63rd minute, we made a triple change. Roberts for Gray, which worked. James for Nonto, which sort of worked, because Nonto wasn't doing much. And James also didn't do great, but probably a little bit more.
The max power.
Yeah, and Piru for Kamara, which didn't really work, but I can't really judge Piru. He was basically playing centre mid. It's Rodrigo all over again. It's a good player who doesn't suit.
Yeah, it was... And to be honest, I don't think Kamara's had a good couple of games now.
You disliked his performance against Leicester a lot more than I did, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think he was brilliant, but you actively thought the amount of negative passing was becoming a real detriment.
I fully understand the purpose of the Gruev Kamara wall passes.
Yeah.
But Christ, if that man could just look over his shoulder every now and again. because he doesn't have to give it. It's not a rule. He can turn. But before I get myself enraged again. I think certainly against Huddersfield, that he was, I thought his decision making was off. And he will always get around the pitch well, Will Kamara, but I don't think his ball retention was as good as it has been in pretty much since the start of the year. And I am very much holding it against him for not taking that shot from 10 yards. Because I think my words to you were, look, that's fine if you're not big on shooting. Maybe don't arrive 10 yards in front of goal in the middle. And then go, oh, what do I do? Like, don't. Stay back then. It's fine.
There's a little bit of a foreshort about him, isn't there, when he gets in front of the goal?
Yeah, it was... So I can't say I was surprised he came off. And again, like you said about Peru, he is someone who was going to have to drop deep, because at that point, it was like a 5-3-1. That Huddersfield had sort of resorted to. And I think midway through the second half, it flashed up. Was it something like 51% of our attacks had gone down the left?
It was even more than that. It was that came just after the goal. So I'll talk about the goal and then we'll get into that, because we both said the same thing immediately. About five minutes after the triple sub, Leeds do play a nice little ball that gets Conor Roberts into the right side of the area. Good ball across the box, splitting the keeper and the defenders just as you'd want to. And Bamford's in the right place to finish, make it 1-1. I mean, we hadn't been great. It was a deserved equaliser. Like, for all that we'll complain about the performance here, we were the better team and probably should win the game, but we didn't do enough with it. But it was nice to see Bamford get another one. Is that like 5-7, something like that?
Yeah. It's a bit,
and I think since he got started, I think I saw something that was, I think it's 7-11, which is pretty decent going.
Yeah, he's been on a good run. Looks hot. And again, it was because of how the game played out. A fairly quiet one for him, And again, I don't think there was a lot he could do to change that, if I'm being honest. Again, going back to that first half, it wasn't as if, you know, Huddersfield were ever really in a position where we needed to press them and he wasn't doing it. You know, we were the ones with the ball the majority of the time. I thought they, you know, between a little bit of slackness in our passing and probably our refusal to look for more balls over the top than we should at times, that there wasn't a lot for him to work off of. So it's quite nice when a chance comes to him like that that he took it.
Now, there was a little bit of the 10-man Wiggins about it, where we did just keep doing the same thing over and over again. And on this occasion, it was look left, give it Somerville. And I mean, obviously, Somerville's a really good player, so that is not a problem. And in fairness, he nearly won it late on, hitting the post. It was a good effort, that. Although Andy Hinchcliffe made it sound like it was a fucking awful finish.
Oh, Andy Hinchcliffe, the left-footed fullback that he was, absolutely would have scored that. But
yeah. But we just kept looking the same way. And I didn't like the way we were doing it because we were constantly forcing inside from Somerville anyway. It was pretty... It was relatively easy to deal with because we kept doing the same thing. And the fact that we never used the right, even though that's where the goal came from, seemed really weird to me. And, I mean, it was a late sub, but with stoppage time, there was still 10 minutes left. I thought bringing Anthony on for Firpo was a real misstep. Because then we went from Somerville constantly trying to go inside, but at least he always had an overlapping runner if we wanted to go outside, to two players that both wanted to go inside.
Yeah, I think once you've got to that situation that you're coming up against sort of nine outfield players who are camped on the edge of the penalty area, you need to make the pitch as wide as possible. And as soon as Anthony came on, you just had two players who just do the same thing, and are both good at it for the most part, but you needed someone to have the threat of getting to the byline, because all of a sudden you had two players who were drifting inside and just making it an even tighter space.
Yeah. And yeah, there was that Somerville one late on that hit the post, but we didn't actually like create enough to win it really. Like Bamford had a shot late, but it's not like we're looking at it going, oh God, their keeper had a late game. We had two shots on target. He only saved one of them. It was on us. But I suppose the thing is, when you've won nine games in a row, you can't be annoyed. We were due a poor performance, and we got one. It happens sometimes.
Yeah, the winning streak is over. No record breakers here.
Well, we've got time. There's 11 games left.
Yeah. Leicester fans lied. They said we were going to win every game now.
Nah, they were doing a me going with the pessimism, seeing if it'll work. Elsewhere, Ipswich won 2-0 at Plymouth. Leicester lost 2-1 at home to QPR. That's three losses in a row for Leicester, which you wouldn't have seen coming.
They'll be jizzing their pants in anger at this point.
Yeah, they'll be jizzy and jizz.
weird people.
Yeah. I assume everyone that listens to this does listen to the Square Ball, but if you haven't listened to the propaganda episode after that, they have a weird obsession. And then Southampton got a very annoying 96-minute winner to win 4-3 at Birmingham. You'd never catch us scoring a last-minute goal to win a high-scoring game at Birmingham. We're not uncouth like that. Ours was an own goal as well. which leaves it Leicester 78 points, Ipswich 75, we're 73, Southampton 70. For what it's worth, I did have a look at last season's table after 35 matches. Burnley, 77. Fair enough. Only 1 point off Leicester. Good going. Sheffield United, 67. Third place Middlesbrough, 60. So this season last year would have us in the automatics by 13 points. Slightly annoying.
West Brom would... still be pushing for automatic promotion if that had been repeated. I hate the Championship. I love the Championship, but I hate the Championship.
Yeah. It's like the Premier League. You want to be in the Premier League, but you hate it, really. The Championship is good, but you don't really want to be in it.
Yeah.
It's... We just can't be happy, can we?
No. Football fans. Yeah, it was... All in all, it was a very frustrating game, but it, like you say, we were due one. It was going to happen. I think we'd said before on the last game... I think it might have been before the Leicester game. Like, if you could have got a point from the Leicester game and then you got your results out of the next four games, you'd go, that it's really good going. You know, four wins and a draw out of five. And it'll be that thing of if, and I know it's a big if, but if we won the next three, you'd then look and go, God, it's really annoying that we dropped points against Huddersfield.
Well, our whole season's like that. It's the right. This sounds weird because it isn't a problem, but it's going to phrase it like that. That's the problem with like doing the double over Leicester and Ipswich. But we're like, every time that we've dropped points, other than Southampton away, and maybe West Brom away as well. That was a tough game. The Sunderland away game, they're in better form than they are now. But when you look at the drop points at home to Cardiff and a 0-0 at home with Chef Wednesday. And yeah, because the loss at Stoke, because we've had a few of them, if we don't go up, those are the games that we're going to find ourselves looking good. We dropped so many easy points, even though we probably, there's a decent chance that we'll go in the playoffs with a total that would get you promoted every year except for this one. But we won't look at it like that. We'll look at it a missed opportunity, and we probably should, really. And now we've got scrapping for their lives, although not that you'd know it to watch them, Stoke tomorrow night. Because I have been so focused on Leeds United, I did not realise how mental the relegation battle is.
Yeah, you've mentioned this just before we came on air, and yeah, I was very much the same looking, going, my God, that's close.
Yeah, Stoke are in 22nd, having just beat Middlesbrough at the weekend. They're on 38 points. 2 points behind 16th place Plymouth. There are four teams on 38 points. One of whom is Huddersfield, then Birmingham, QPR. Then, like, Millwall are only 1 point above the relegation zone. Have Millwall played all the people we could do with them beating yet? Because if they have, I hope they get relegated. That'd be great.
Who've they still got to play?
To play us a week on Sunday.
Yeah, they've got Leicester. No one else around us.
We could do with them beating Leicester. So I'm not going to worry about it yet. But they're managed by Stephen Schumacher, who got the job in December. I had, since he took over, and they went unbeaten the first four, one win, three draws. Then they got beat by Brighton in the FA Cup. Since then, they've played 9 games. They've won 3, lost 6. There was a few rumours that if they got beat by Middlesbrough, he was going to get sacked after 3 months. Winning against Middlesbrough probably saved him, because they're probably win, lose or draw. They're not going to really judge him on the game against us, you wouldn't think. But they paid quite a lot to get him out of Plymouth. They're a weird side, because they're the proper example of, if you don't go up while you've got the parachute payments, you're knackered afterwards. And everyone is sort of shipped out. We've got Daniel Everson in goal. He's a good goalkeeper.
Sorry, I'm just looking here at Stoke's sort of managers that they've had through the years. Since Mark Hughes went, they've had one manager that's lasted more than a year.
Yeah, they had Rowett, didn't they, when they first came down?
There was Lambert, Rowett, Nathan Jones, Michael O'Neill. They got a good... he was there for 143 games. Alex Neil got a season and a bit. And
that's the other thing with them. Like, Alex Neil, I think they paid quite a lot of money to get him out of Sunderland. It didn't work.
Yeah. I'm just looking through. There's been some, like, Nathan Jones was absolutely abysmal for them. Just 38 games.
Didn't he only win, like, one game and it was against us?
He's got to... I'm just going to say now, I'm guessing this is just all competitions. Nathan Jones, 38 games, 6 wins, 15 draws, 17 defeats.
Yeah, it's not great, is it?
No. Yeah. At some point, you've just got to ask the question, do we get Tony Pulis back?
Well, maybe.
They went back before. They can go back again.
Yeah, I was just glancing through their team. Obviously, he's got a hilarious name, but Lyndon Gooch is a pretty good player. I don't know if Keanu Herver has actually picked up because they expected him to be really good when he was at Liverpool when he was a kid. Ben Wilmot's a decent centre half. Wouter Burger, I don't know if he's any good, but it's a great name. And they have also got the best midfielder in the Championship, Lewis Baker, who is finally he's finally an actual footballer now who plays games of football
for a not very good team.
Yeah,
looking at the squad,
Niall Ennis up top will give you plenty of running. And they've got that, and they've also got Tyrese Campbell, who they thought was going to be an absolute world beater, and it didn't really happen. But he's still quite young.
They also have Liam McCarron.
Oh, is that where he is?
He has not played for them.
I'm sure that I knew that at the time, but have very much forgotten about it since.
He may, in fact, I think he's out on loan at the moment. But yes, he is a Stoke player. I look through this team, and there are plenty of players I know. I can't say I think highly of many of them.
No, I've just looked through. I think we've got Ben Pearson as well. So if he plays, that's a card. Because that's just what happens.
Yeah, like Lyndon Gooch, decent player. Tyrese Campbell's probably one that hasn't kicked on as much as I think you probably would have thought he would have done. Because, I mean, he's 24 now.
Because he's 24 now?
Yeah, he's made 137 appearances. You know, very much looked like a promising young striker. And, you know, he's never scored. There's 2 seasons where he scored 9 goals. He's never got higher than that. And then there's just... Keanu Herver, decent. Kieran Clark is knocking on a bit, I imagine, but
he'll be like mid 30s. Will Kieran Clark now?
Yeah, 34. There's these players that I either don't know or the kind of knocking on a bit. It's a very odd squad they've assembled. And again, I imagine part of that is just down to go through a load of managers. Who was it? A year or two ago, they had John Obi Mikel at 36 or whatever it was.
Yeah, they've not dealt with it well. They needed to go up and not. It's like us, basically. They had 2 seasons after they got relegated where they needed to go up. And they came down as massive favourites for the league, spent a load of money and just did badly. And once you do that, it's hard to recover from it. I'm just looking. They, on average, they do shared possession in their games. I know that they won't against us, but it should mean that there won't be absolute backs to the wall, not having any of the ball.
Mm.
And obviously, it was another poor performance with a missed penalty, but they did beat us at their place.
So you would hope that
we can get some sort of. It's like all the other games, really. If we play well, we should win. It's just whether we play well or not. I haven't got predictions from Connie and Alex yet, because obviously they're both at work with us doing it at this time of day. But I am going to go 2-0 win for this.
I'm just going to go 1-0. I am envisaging very much a sit deep and play for a 0-0. A lot of time wasting. I don't envisage it being a good game. But again, it's one of those, if you start positively, you get a goal, then they will have to come out and try and get something. Just purely based on the position they're in at this point.
Now, I believe that Daniel Farker will be literally sitting down to do his press conference right now. So there's no point in hanging around until the end of it. But provided there are no massive changes with injury, do you think that we'll make changes?
I don't think we will. I do think, and again, I'm not trying to pile into Glenn Kamara here, I do think there's maybe an argument for Connor Roberts starts, move Archie Gray into midfield with Grev.
I think I'd be doing the same.
I think you also want someone who, I think in a game like this where there's going to be, I think you're going to have a lot of space in the middle third. I think you probably want someone who I feel will be more likely to get a goal from midfield in there, because Kamara is a box to box midfielder. I don't know if you need that sort of player in a game like this that's going to be getting up and down, because I don't think the need will be there.
Yeah.
You'll have Grove will sit deeper. And I think it'll be very much a case of fullbacks bomb on. Grove sits deep in front of Ampadu and Roden.
Yeah, I think it will be as well. It's why I really would love Strout to get fit again, because as good as Grove has been in the last few games, a lot of the actual best incisive passing has come from Ampadu bringing the ball out and doing it himself. So I would quite like to get Ampadu back into midfield. I still think, despite how well the other midfielders have done, and they have, I still think Ampadu and Gray long term is what you want.
I think I'm still on, for me, until it looks particularly shaky, I don't know if I'd be breaking up Ampadu and Roden anytime soon. Like, I know Ampadu has looked great for us in midfield. It is really tough to look past the defensive record we've had since January.
Yeah.
And I know you can't say, well, Strout got injured and we've got better since. It's not nearly as simple as that. But, Roden and Ampadu seem to have formed a good partnership. And in that time, the ball retention and passing stats of Kamara and Gruev have been fantastic in the middle as well.
Yeah, I think that Roberts comes in and Gray moves into midfield, but I think that'll be the only change. I don't think what else will go. Maybe James, Fernando as well.
Yeah. Perhaps. I'd feel it's probably a little bit harsh on Nonto given the run he's been on. But again,
he's had a couple of relatively ineffective games in a row. And with us playing Friday as well, I don't think it's the worst thing to rotate a little bit. I wouldn't make five changes, but two or three, I think that's all right.
Yeah.
That will do us for episode 254 at Mike White's podcast. Hopefully we can just get a nice solid win against Stoke. And I haven't even checked if the other teams are playing. I assume that they are, because I assume it's a full round of fixtures. On the Leicester are away at Sunderland on the Tuesday, Ipswich are at home to Bristol City. And on the Wednesday, Southampton at home to Preston. Current form. You'd be surprised if any of them go our way, but you never know.
Yeah, you can. One can hope.
Well, either way, there'll be a double on there. There'll be a lot of Leeds fans with doubles on Leicester and Ipswich on Tuesday, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Come on, Preston. Preston haven't lost in their last five. They can go get something.
They're our best hope.
Yeah.
Cool. Right, well, that will do us. I've been Jack, see ya.
I've been Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.